Jack. Jack O'Hara. Boy, you asked me some interesting questions, my man.
It's a great question, Jack.
Jack, hey, it's Josh Radner.
Hey there, Jack O'Hara. It's Johnny Damon.
Jack, you had questions for me.
Jack O'Hara? Absolutely.
This message is for Jack O'Hara. Jack, how are you?
Hey, Jack.
Jack, hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's going on, Jack? Listen, man, you know, you asked me a couple questions.
Broadcasting around the world, you're listening to The O Show.
In the show and doing your thing. I mean, you've got some pretty big name guests. I've seen your stuff, so congratulations on your success.
Jack O'Hara.
Much nicer guy than Conan O'Brien, with much better interviewing skills.
Don't forget to share this episode on your social media. Now, let's get to it.
I'm so boned. I forgot to get my girl tickets for the show tomorrow, and now it's sold out. It's her freaking birthday.
Aw, dude. She's totally gonna break up with you.
She's definitely gonna break up with me.
Should have used Tick Pick.
Wait, what'd you say?
Tick Pick. Look.
Oh, whoa.
What? There are no hidden fees. What'd you guys think I said?
Oh, Tick Pick. I thought you said
Tick Pick.
No hidden fees. Download today.
Nothing much, man.
This is funny, man. I'm glad that they put this feature on Kimya. And I've actually talked to a guy with the high school win on here.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah.
Did he pay just to talk to you?
Yeah, I said, man, I know your brother. Why don't you tell your brother to call me? And he was like, oh, man, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to talk to you myself.
I mean, you got the connection. Why not? That's bizarre. I got one question I kind of want to pick your brain about, because I know we got like a minute here. Obviously, what was it, the 2013 storyline you had with Cena, the whole retirement segment, the whole angle there, how much of that was your idea? How much of that was creative? Because, again, I think that's probably one of the best, you know, segments, I think, from a storytelling perspective in Raw history.
It was just me and Vince. There wasn't nobody else involved.
Oh, wow. That's nuts.
It was very close to the best. I actually wanted to retire.
Yeah.
Vince was like, no, you're too young. Like, don't do it. You got a lot left. And he was right. You know, I mean, it's easy to do and easy to go there when that's where you really want to be.
Yeah.
So it wasn't hard for me to go in the ring and pour my heart out, pour my soul out, because that's how I really felt.
Yeah, I mean, that's nuts. I mean, you put on an Oscar performance doing it. I thought you were going to retire. Well, thanks so much, man, for doing this. I really appreciate it.
I'm so boned. I forgot to get my girl tickets for the show tomorrow, and now it's sold out. It's her freaking birthday.
Aw, dude. She's totally going to break up with you.
She's definitely going to break up with me.
Should have used Tick Pick.
Wait, what'd you say?
Tick Pick. Look.
Oh, whoa.
Dude. What? There are no hidden fees. What'd you guys think I said?
Oh, Tick Pick. I thought you said
Tick Pick. No hidden fees. Download today.
Thanks for coming on. I know you're busy. You have a show tonight?
I do have a show tonight. It's a two-day tournament, actually. The bar is some shows that we do in LA. Most fun shows ever.
I'm sure. I'll jump right into it. It shouldn't be that quick. I wanted to ask you, just because I find this very interesting, you started wrestling at just age 16, competing in the UK, South Africa. Talk to me about getting your start in pro wrestling, and was it always your, like, dream to be a pro wrestler?
Oh, yeah. My father was a wrestler and a promoter, so, you know, I grew up in the business, so that's ever since I was a kid. When I was 8, I decided this is what I wanted to do, and, you know, I just put all my focus, energy, and drive into that. And, actually middle of March, it'll be 22 years, so I've been very lucky and very blessed with a long career, because the average age for a wrestler is like 5 years, everybody, so I've been very lucky.
You're exclusively with Ring of Honor now, or are you bouncing around?
I am exclusively with Ring of Honor. They let me honor my dates that I already had booked previously. I had about 40 independent bookings, which they let me honor, and they let me do international bookings, which is big for me because 80% of my income is international booking. So right. Yeah, I have a really good deal with them, and they, you know, like they're very lenient and like forgiving. If we're not working a certain weekend and I want to go work an indie show, I just have to clear it with them, and they'll most likely clear it for me.
This also is very intriguing to me. So PJ Black, what you started out with, you go to WWE, you're Justin Gabriel, you're PJ Black again, your name's Philip Lloyd. Like, what's the whole, like, name, like, how do you go about, like, the name-picking process for this?
So in WWE, they didn't want, I've been PJ Black since I was 15 years old. In WWE, they didn't want us to have, like, our real names or anything that sounded similar to that or anything that we used at that time. Like, now it's cool. Now they get, you know, AJ gets to use his name.
Right.
And Samoa Joe and those guys. But back then, and it changes all the time. So, yeah, that was something I initially thought of, the name Justin Angel. I guess Vince was friends with Chris Angel, and it sounded too similar, blah, blah, blah. And then that kind of changed to Justin Gabriel without me knowing. Like, I legit found out as I walked to the ring, which is fascinating. Either way, it is what it is.
You get your start in WWE. You're in the newly formed faction. You had the Nexus. You had Barrett, Otunga, Sheffield, Young. You're in your first feud with a guy like John Cena, basically the guy in the business. You're taking out all guys like Vince McMahon, Bret the Hitman Hart, Jericho, Edge, the list goes on, Orton. Walk me through that experience, given it was like your first main roster experience in the company.
Oh, dude, so much fun. You know, like, guys I watched on TV a few years before that. Next thing you know, I was in the ring, main eventing SummerSlam with a Nexus at the Staples Center, which is fantastic. I got to work live events with John Cena for like 3, 4, 5 months, you know, like live events, non-televised shows, which was some of the most fun I've ever had in my career. It was just surreal, you know, but then after a few months, you kind of just become one of those guys, and then the next guys come onto the road from FCW or NXT, you're like, oh man, I've been watching you on TV, and now they get to work with you. It's kind of like just wrestling, it's kind of like just evolving. It's a revolving door too, so I got to play both ends of that side.
You had the Nexus. What was the other experience like? You were in the core, they kind of like split you guys up, they put like CM Punk in charge of the Nexus, Barrett's in the core. Like, what was that like?
That was cool. I mean, it was kind of like a transitional era where we tried a bunch of stuff out, and like some of the stuff that we tried did not work. Obviously some of the stuff did work. I mean, I still had a lot of fun. I wish they'd given us more direction at the time, because when that run was over, they're like, oh, we kind of wish you guys did this. I'm like, well, why didn't you tell us to do that? We would have done that. You kind of like just put us in there and be like, do whatever you guys want. You know, like sometimes it's good to have direction. Sometimes it's good not to have too much direction. But we thought that's the direction that they wanted us to go in, but we were wrong. But, like, you know, it was still a fun time. Like, I'm just sad, like, the Nexus never got a WrestleMania moment. Core did get a WrestleMania match. It was very quick, very short. I don't know if you can remember that in WrestleMania Atlanta. But
right. Nonetheless,
we got a little WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, and the Nexus, that basically took up most of 2010. Like, it would have been cool to see Nexus at WrestleMania in a big, like, faction feud, maybe even, like, against the core, given that that was already happening.
Well, maybe come back against the Shield or something.
Oh, that would have been awesome, Nexus versus the Shield. I never thought about that.
Like, yeah, we actually pitched it a few times, and, like, it was just hard because a lot of the Nexus guys were doing other stuff. And, you know, like, it almost happened a few times, actually, but, yeah, unfortunately never did.
And who would you consider, like, your greatest, like, in-ring opponent? Like, who did you think you had the most chemistry with during your time in WWE?
Oh, man, in WWE?
Yeah.
It's hard to say, you know, because everyone there is so good, and that's why they're there. They're there for a reason, you know? Even, like, guys that aren't necessarily too good or too polished. Once you go to FCW or NXT, man, all those guys just become really good wrestlers. Like in FCW, right before it turned into NXT, I had chemistry with pretty much everybody there. I mean, if one person had to stand out, probably he. I mean, Swagger. I mean, I had some great matches with Cena. Oh, man. Like, everyone on the WWE roster. Like, if Rey Mysterio, but it wasn't in WWE. It was in Lucha Underground, but like, I know Rey's back in WWE, so that was also one of my favorite matches ever.
I guess that leads me to my next question. Like, your favorite match in the company, would you say Rey Mysterio?
In WWE?
Yeah.
So I didn't wrestle Axel Rae in WWE. I tag with him a lot. Let me see. My favorite match in WWE, this is actually funny. Like, you always look at matches back and you can nitpick it, right? There's always like a thousand things that you would have done differently. One of my favorite matches was a match against Hunico on Superstars, actually. A 20-minute match. And, like, I always look back at that match. I tried to find it on YouTube the other day and I couldn't find it, but I do have it on my hard drive somewhere. And it was just, like, perfect. You know, like, the timing, everything was perfect. The storytelling was great. Like, everything just happened, like, really good. And for some reason, that match stands out in my head.
Wow. Okay, so Superstars, that doesn't even exist anymore, Superstars. I totally forgot that whole, like, pre-show thing that they had.
It's funny because Superstars and Main Event, the shows with a lot of wrestling on, internationally, they have the highest ratings. You know, like, if I look back in, especially in South Africa where I grew up, or Africa, a lot of people don't speak English. So, you know, like, Raw and SmackDown, that always opens with a 20, 30, 40-minute promo segment. The people that don't speak English, they don't understand that, but everyone understands wrestling.
Right.
So Superstars and NXT and Main Event, like, the shows with less talking, they actually are higher rated internationally.
That's your WWE favorite match. What is your all-time favorite match in pro wrestling?
I mean, it's hard to pick one, man. That one against Rey Mysterio on season 3 of Lucha Underground, and then the following week against Ricochet. That has to be one of my
favorite. Oh, yeah. I could only imagine that. Both of you guys, high flyers like that.
That guy's so good.
Oh, man. And how was your experience in Lucha Ground overall?
I love it, man. It was some of the most fun I've had in wrestling. I've been doing this, you know, like, next month it'll be 22 years. It's the most fun I've ever had in wrestling. Like, a talented group of guys who just, everyone wanted to help each other out. The locker room was great, you know. In wrestling, you don't have a lot of friends, you have a lot of acquaintances, but I can honestly say that the whole locker room at Lucha Underground, we were friends. Like, even now when we see each other on different shows, and, you know, like, I felt like it was magic while it was happening, you know. And I took the job, too, because I'm a huge fan of Robert Rodriguez. I think he's a genius. He's a great director. And, you know, his insight made that show what it was.
Who would you consider to be your biggest mentor in wrestling?
Well, probably my dad. You know, my dad was a wrestler, and I mean, he stretched me as a kid. He was a pretty tough guy. Like, in South Africa, it was a tradition that everyone's first match was always against him. Right. And he'd be on top of that list. But a few other guys, too, you know, like Undertaker for sure. You know, like, all the... Even Cena, in a way, like, because he was one of the guys that pushed, you know, at that time, no one was allowed to hit, like, these crazy moves, and they kind of, you know, WWE was going away from, like, pile drivers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And high flying, remember that era?
Right.
He was one of the guys that said, like, yo, this kid can do a 450 safely on anybody, and, like, they made me hit it on a bunch of different people to see if I could do it, you know, and then they were like, okay, we'll let this kid hit this on TV. So, I mean, he played a huge part in that for sure. And, you know, like, I worked out with him at his gym, and, you know, just outside of wrestling, I could say, like, he was kind of a mentor to me.
You mentioned those guys like Cena, Taker. Do you have, like, any cool stories about those guys, like any advice they gave you during that feud and during that run with the company?
Oh, man, so many stories that I probably shouldn't tell. let me see, if there's something I could tell you. I got to think about this for a second.
We can talk about anything on this show. Unless it's illegal, then...
let me think about that for a second. I mean, there's so many great, like, road stories, you know, like... I'm gonna write a book about it one day, for sure. Let me think. We'll come back to that, and I'll think a little bit.
All right. Yeah, I'm definitely going to ask that again. Again, talk about anything, unless it's, you know, personal, illegal, something that you absolutely can't talk about. So after WWE, you go to TNA. Talk to me about your experience in TNA for that short term.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was never really interested in TNA, but that was the era that Jeff Jarrett kind of, like, tried to go back there and start that up. He started the Global Force thing, actually.
Right.
We did the Global Force Invasion. And Jeff just became a huge fan of mine for some reason. They needed someone to work the Bullet Club with the show. And I was like, let me do it. And then they're like, but you're a baby face. And I was like, I'm actually a way better heel, like, till this day. And I got to the back, and Jeff Jarrett was like, you are a great heel. You should never be a baby face ever again. And then he took a liking to me, and he pushed me huge on the Global Force show. He let me do whatever I wanted. And I was like, I want some promo time and like this, because I don't feel like people know who I am and my personality, and, like, everyone thinks I'm a high flyer, but there's so much more to PJ Black. And so he kind of like gave me the ball and I just ran with it. I wish that Global Force got a better TV deal or got a TV deal. But anyway, so we did the TNA invasion angle. I think I did like 4 or 5 TV tapings, which we filmed in 1 week. I was the next gen champion and I won the King of the Mountain title the first show. Lost it, I think, to Bobby Lashley or Bobby Roode, one of the two. I think they were both in that match. But it was a little, it was a fun little experience, you know. It was, at that time, TNA was very, very different to what it is now.
Right.
And, I mean, it keeps evolving. Like, right now, the completely different product, I think. But, yeah, I didn't want to sign at that time. I didn't want to sign with anybody. I just wanted to do independence and travel and kind of, like, work on my character and my stuff, my wrestling, like, brand, if you will. And yeah, I mean, it was definitely fun. It just we never really got to sit down to discuss contract stuff because I just told him I wasn't interested right off the bat.
Right after you leave WWE, of course. So right now, obviously, with All Elite Wrestling forming, there's a lot of WWE guys who are want out, basically. They're all granting releases. Walk me through, like, the story of you leaving WWE. Was that out of, like, creative frustration, like, out of, like, the creative-wise with your character, or what was that?
Yes, mainly. It was a lot of frustration because every week I pitched something different, different characters, different storylines. I even went back to NXT to work on a few things with Dusty Rhodes at the time and some character development and like a bunch of new stuff and like nothing was working, nothing was taking. I feel like we were in that transition era of the startup of NXT, right? Like the actual performance center. And I feel like everyone who came into the performance center at that time were like Hunter's kids. And that's fair enough. So he wanted to push them instead of everyone else. Everyone else who came from FCW and everyone who came before that. So I feel like I was just kind of in a rut with nothing I did was like good enough or was being seen or like none of my pictures was even being looked at. And yeah, and it was kind of like a build up for like 2 or 3 weeks. Like even if they didn't use you, they'd fly you to TV, right? So you just sit there. It's the most boring thing ever to sit in catering all day and you watch all your friends like have cool segments and promos and matches. And if you're not doing anything, it's the most boring thing ever, man. So I kind of sat backstage for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then I was like, man, I'm just going to go home because no one even knows I'm here. So I started just like booking my flights earlier home myself. And this one day on the flight, they were like, oh, we need you for the segment. And I was like, you know what? Never mind. I just tell them I quit. And they're like, well, no, just calm down. Go home and just like think about it. And like we'll talk tomorrow. And by the time I got home, I was just like, you know what? This is one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do, but this is, I'm gonna go through with this. And I asked for my release and they luckily they were kind of mad at it, but the way I did it, but like they weren't too bad about it.
Wow. So, and you actually like pitched like, your new like Darewolf persona with PJ Black. Did you pitch that to Triple H during NXT? Like you wanted to like revamp your character, bring someone new into NXT?
I did. And he hated the Darewolf name initially, but Vince liked it and Vince actually trademarked it. And then, you know, when I left WWE a year or two later, if you don't use a trademark, it gets abandoned. So like I jumped on it immediately. I just found it by mistake one day and I trademarked it myself, or I own it, and I think it's cool. I mean, maybe he didn't think at the time it was cool, because he's one of those guys, if he doesn't come up with the idea, he doesn't think it's cool. But you know, it is what it is. Now I own it, I think it's cool, and I'm going to run with it. And, you know, like if I ever go back one day, I'm pretty sure they'll use it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, did you actually get an NXT offer before you signed with Ring of Honor?
Yes. I live in L.A., and Staples Center, I live like a couple of blocks away from the Staples Center, so they had like NXT there on the Saturday, the Survivor Series was there on the Sunday, and then Raw on Monday, and then Tuesday, so I went to all the TV days just to hang out, really, just to go say hi to all my friends. I ended up talking with the talent scouts, and I talked to Hunter and Vince and stuff like that, and they asked if I would be open to that, and I was like, at first I wasn't, but I obviously on the spot I just said yes. I was like, yeah, I totally I'll be open to it. But then I thought about it for a while, and I was like, you know what, I've been there, done that. In NXT, I'd probably be required to do, what, 240, between 280 dates
right.
A year, and ROH basically offered me more money for doing like 50 dates, which is, I mean, it was kind of like a no-brainer. And I'd have freedom, you know, and I haven't done ROH. And ROH is probably the only top TV company in the in the country that I haven't won a title yet. So if I can do that somehow in my next year or two at ROH, then I think I'll be one of the first people to do that. So that's kind of like what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of guys right now, like, you're on the road pretty much all year round in WWE. For guys like you who want to revamp your character, you feel like you get, like, potentially lost in the shuffle, per se, in WWE. Because, like you said, it's what they want to do, not really what you want to do. You have more creative power in these other companies. Do you feel like a lot of current WWE superstars might leave and, like, chase their own, like, desired storylines?
Yes and no. I feel like a lot of guys want to do that, but a lot of guys have families, right? So you gotta, like, take care of your family first, whatever comes first. I mean, the guys, even if they're not on TV at all, like some of my friends, they make really good money. Like much better money than they could make on the indies or with a proper job or with a degree or anything. So for them, they just kind of, like, hold on and, like, they have to take care of their families. There are a few guys here and there who are not married, which they might do. But it's still kind of, it's hard for some guys, but I mean, it's hard to speak for those guys, but I feel like we will see that more often now that there are other options popping up, you know, like you've got the AEW popping up and ROH is throwing a lot of money around and TNA is like trying to make a huge comeback, and I feel like it's in a very exciting time in the business for sure, for wrestlers and for fans, actually, you know, like, I feel like we have to have other places to go. If we can somehow create the Monday Night Wars, you know, that's why I hope AEW is a big success, because if that kind of happens, that, I mean, how good is that for fans and for wrestlers? It's like, if we have other places to go, and you even see that with NXT right now, you know, like, now, whoever's in charge, let's say Hunter's in charge there, for real, NXT is a completely different style to what the main roster is, right? And I feel like they were like, oh, man, we're going to have to keep up with the indies and all the crazy spots and things and characters that the guys are doing on the indies, so it's definitely in that aspect.
Yeah, and this is probably if you said that like 5 years ago, like WWE was the top dog with all the other industries kind of below it. Now this is really, we're getting into that era where all of these places, Ring of Honor, TNA, like they're all like almost equal. I mean, not equal per se, but fans are starting to drift off other places to see other type of storylines, other type of feuds. So it's cool to see. So now that you're exclusively with Ring of Honor, what are your top goals right now for your character and your career?
I just want, like, people to see the real PJ Black. I've been working on a lot of character stuff, and obviously my style is completely different. People think I'm a high flyer, but I'm really a much better technical wrestler and character wrestler, which I want to show that. And obviously I still do the 450, and I still do some high flying moves, because, you know, that's the hybrid style that I'm used to and that people love. But there is just a way other side of PJ Black that I want to show people. I definitely want to work with Jay Lethal. I definitely want to go for the ROH title. I feel like I can fit into that picture very well. And obviously ROH has a partnership with New Japan. That's also something I'm looking at. I think my style would fit in there perfectly.
Oh, for sure. New Japan would be exciting. You had, I don't know if you're still like doing shows for them. How was the NWA experience?
That was fun, man. I mean, I love Billy Corgan's vision for that, and Dave Lagana, the producer of the show, is fantastic. It was a lot of fun. Like, me and Aldis actually started that storyline way before him and Cody did the storyline, so it was kind of like backtrack. But like, I think they did a phenomenal thing with the 10 pounds of gold, the little YouTube show they have.
Right,
they did a fantastic job with producing that and like telling stories, because, you know, that's for me and a lot of people from my generation. I'm not sure how old you are, but that's what got us into wrestling, you know. It was those video packages, remember, like WrestleMania 1, 2, 3, 4, those little video packages of over the top characters.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what NWA is trying to do, like trying that old school storytelling but with like a more modern real feel to it. I think it's fantastic. I really hope that takes off.
I'm sure it will. I mean, again, that's the more appealing side to wrestling fans like me and all the other wrestling fans around the world. I feel like these companies are more open, like you said, to having superstars have their own creative control. And people appeal to that way more than they do to WWE storyline, where it's basically what they want. They're not really listening to their fans all that much.
Right, exactly. And I mean, lately they they've been listening a little bit here and there, but it's still the same old stuff.
2015. So talk about your House of Glory matchup with AJ Styles. He was like the New Japan World Champion at the time. Tell me about that match. That must have been a phenomenal match.
It was amazing, man. Like one of my dream matches for sure. And the whole plan for me was to go over like for the whole month, but then he became the New Japan Champion. So obviously I couldn't beat the New Japan Champion. But I mean, I didn't care about that. I just got to working. I remember on the day two, we had to go up first because I had another show in England, so I had to catch a flight from JFK. So I got to the building and I just got changed immediately. And he got there late, like 10 minutes before. And I was like, bro, we're up first. So we literally just didn't plan anything. We just freestyled the whole match. I was like, listen, I do everything you do, like pretty much your moveset. Just every time I do it, reverse it. I feel like if you watch it back, like, you know, like you can tell, like, it was kind of weird, but it was very entertaining. I think it was one of my favorite matches for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to go back and watch that match. Again, to reiterate, like, 16 years old, you start professional wrestling. Was pro wrestling, like, always the dream? Like, did you ever have any other, like, ideas what you wanted to do with your life? And what made you decide that that was it? Like, you said your dad was a wrestler.
Yep. No, I decided when I was 8 years old. When I was 8 years old, I played remember that Raw video game on Genesis?
Yeah.
Or, like, it was called Saturn. The system was called back home. And so when I played that the first time, I looked to my mom, and I was like, yo, this is what I'm going to do. And obviously, my mom, being married to a wrestler, she wasn't too fond of the idea. And, you know, she wanted me to finish school and get a degree and stuff like that, which I did. I did just to make her happy. But I think she's very happy now that I'm actually making a living wrestling.
I'm sure. One more question before I go back to the storytelling aspect. I'm very, very interested in hearing that. Rhodes, Young Bucks, they start All Elite Wrestling. There's WWE guys who say they're going to go over. You see a guy like Dean Ambrose who says he's not coming back. Who knows where he's going to end up? My question is, you just signed exclusively with Ring of Honor. Will we ever see PJ Black down the road in All Elite Wrestling? Would you ever be open to it?
I'd totally be open to it. Like, never say never. I mean, like I said earlier, like, I really hope that they can create... They have the money backing, they have the power, I feel like, and, you know, they're building a great roster, and I feel like it's possible that we can somehow create, even to us on a small scale, create, like, the Monday Night Wars. Obviously, it's not going to be on Monday, but to say the TV Wars, I mean, I think it'll be fantastic. Yeah, I'll be completely open to that. I spoke to Cody a little while ago, and we didn't talk anything about that, but, I mean, it's a possibility. The ROH deal just came at the exact time and exactly what I wanted at the time. So, you know, like it was kind of a no-brainer for me.
Right. And how long are you signed with Ring of Honor?
It's just a year deal, but after a year, it becomes the other party can give 30 days notice. So it's really a really flexible deal, which suits me perfectly. And I think it's great. And financially, it's great too. And yeah, so this year should be fun. Let's see where it goes. But I feel like I'm going to be there for a little while if it goes well, because I really like what they're doing and what they're trying to do right now and the way the company is going. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, actually, let's do this interview in a year from now and let's see how much has changed.
So, a one-year deal, you have room. Like, you've been everywhere. You've been in multiple wrestling promotions. Would you prefer signing, like, a one-year deal before, like, obviously you say you like it and you'd like to stay longer if you could. What's your take on, like, one-year deal where you have room to experience what you experience, if you like it or not, and then as opposed to, like, a long-year deal, like, you were with WWE for a while and towards the end you just didn't love it at all anymore?
Right, yeah. No, I think it's perfect, man. Like, seriously, like, everything about this contract is perfect. And where I am right now in my life, in my career, it couldn't have gone any better. Like, I couldn't even have negotiated something better myself. So I think it's great, man. Like, you know, a lot can happen in a year, but also nothing can happen in a year. And if nothing happens, then I have options. Like, I have so many options right now, but I feel like it's going to be a great year for sure.
And before I let you go, because I know you got that match tonight, just want to reiterate what I asked before. Like, any cool, interesting stories with, like, the likes of Cena, Taker, any, like, advice they gave you over the years?
Oh, man, so interesting story. One of Undertaker's first matches was actually in South Africa. I mean, he was training for, like, maybe 2 weeks, and I needed a big, big, tall Texan guy.
Character. Yeah.
And many people don't know this. In the 80s, early 90s, South Africa was kind of like an unofficial territory. I mean, I grew up watching Hulk Hogan come job to our champion, Andre the Giant come job to our champion. And, you know, there was no YouTube back then, no dirt sheets, so no one knew of this. And I remember Taker having his very first match in this building, the same building that I had my first match in. It's the tennis stadium in Durban, and WWE still runs that building to this day. You know, so like it's a shithole, but it's got a lot of history. And, you know, I watched a lot of matches there growing up. I watched my dad there. And, you know, like every time I see Taker, we kind of like laugh about it. And he's like, yo, is that building still the same? I'm like, it's exactly the same. They haven't even painted it yet. So we kind of just laugh about that. And like, I feel like we have some weird connection because I told him like my first ever match was also in that building. And actually, another funny story, how's this for coincidence? So WWE runs that building. So when did SmackDown go there? 2012 or 13, I think we ran that same building. So my first match was in that building against my dad. And when I ran there with WWE, like 15 years later, we wrestled on my dad's birthday in that same building.
Wow.
How weird is that coming full circle?
Oh, that's awesome. That's an awesome story for you.
That's one for my book for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so talk to me a little bit about that. I know it's just an idea right now, but like what's your plan for that? Just like career stories, locker room stories? Like
totally. Like, I mean, I have so many Heat stories. Like so many, because that guy is such a character. I think he's fantastic. I have so many stories of me and him, because, I mean, we were tag champs three times, right? So for, like, 3-4 years, we traveled together on the road, like, 5 days a week. So I got to spend a lot of time with him. So I have so many stories with him and all the guys. And, you know, just, like, I've had quite a unique experience moving from South Africa. WWE moved me to the U.S. So I think I have quite a unique and inspiring story that I want to share with people. You know, but I mean, I'm still far away from that. I still want to wrestle another 10 years before I even, like, start that book. Because I want to not write, like, 2 or 3 or 4 like Jericho. I want to write one and done.
Right, right. Yeah, writing a book's tough. So you kind of want to keep it short. Get all your stories in just one giant book. Do you have any, like, ideas for a name for it yet?
No, I don't. like I said, that's probably 10 years away. Or I want to wrestle as long as I can. When my body starts like giving out or giving in, that's when I'll start thinking about stuff like that. But I do every once in a while, I sit down and I think of stories just so I can like, you know, put it away in case I get too many concussions one day or get old or Alzheimer's or whatever. So I do have like memories of these road stories. Like right now, I can't even think of any more stories like about Cena and Taker, but like there'll be many of them, I'm sure. I just have to sit down and think about it for a second.
And there's like a lot of guys I hear who like one towards the end of their career, they kind of wish they kind of like wrote things down, like little stories down, like regardless of where they were in the business, just so they can like go back, check it out, and like you potentially write a book about it.
Right, exactly. And I think it's just like thinking ahead. And we've learned from other guys to do that. You know, like Jericho writes still to this day, writes down every single match he's done.
Yeah.
And what the finish was, where it was. And I think that's a great idea. I kind of wish I did that.
Oh, yeah, man, for sure. I mean, not too late. You say you have 10 years left. Do it now.
That's true. Or maybe I'll just document the last 10 years. But, you know, like for YouTube now, like I kind of just document everything and put it on the YouTube channel. I kind of vlog it. So there's kind of like a record kind of everything I'm doing from now on. Thank goodness for technology, right?